Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is your host, Rob Mershon, Hunt Out Loud, and today we're going to be talking with Nick McWhorter. What's going on, Nick?
Not much. Late season.
Well, it's been a while since you've been over.
Been a while, man. I don't know. It was right after I killed my velvet buck this year, I think. It's been probably since October.
Well,
like that, a long time.
Believe it or not, I'm still podcasting.
Here we are, getting more into it.
Stirring all the crap and podcasting. Sometimes, I'm telling you right now, sometimes in the hunting world, I guess we should keep our opinions to ourselves. But it's hard to do when you're podcasting.
Well, you know what I mean? That's what people are here for. They're here to listen.
That's what I thought.
Getting more stuff every time I come over.
I know. It's piling up in here. Water bottles and all.
Getting fancy.
Well, you know, Nick, right off the bat, I got to hear about your recurve kill. And you taking up recurve. I like that.
Like I said earlier before the podcast, you know, I've always kind of just went on my own way about stuff. And recurve had always interested me. Just watching, like watching Fred Bear and all those guys, you know, back in the day, those old films. And they got to have the animal in so close and everything. So I went from the compound, and my father-in-law lent me a recurve. It was his old one from back when he was a kid and needed a string and all that stuff. So I went over to Junie and got a string, and he got it all set up for me. Let me borrow 3 arrows. That's all he had. So he let me borrow his arrows, and I bought a pack of broadheads. And I started shooting out in the yard, and I mean, I shot like my fingers were almost bleeding. I mean, I was hurting bad. I was an idiot. Didn't have one of the shoot tabs or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, I got really good at it actually at 20 yards. So I felt confident enough. I was like, well, now or never, you know, mm-hmm. we'll try it out. And, me and Dad went out and I was filming for him. He's trying to kill a buck. And, we were sitting in the blind, and I took the recurve at night. I told Dad, if we get a doe comes in, you know, 20 yards, I'm going to try to get a shot. And that's what happened. I mean, she come in and, just real on edge, late season. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, they've been shot at like crazy.
Oh yeah.
They're hard to hunt. And, she knew something was up. She wasn't liking it. And, I drew back and kind of made a mistake, like compound hunting. Mm-hmm. In a way, you know, you draw back and you can hold till you get the shot. And well, I drew back and I was shaking. I had to, you know, it was either going to have to let down or let it go. She had her head toward the blind and I shot, and as soon as that bow went off, she took like almost a step and a half and just right in front of the back legs. And I was heartbroke. I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me, because I had shot so much and I was confident with it. Mm-hmm. And my distance was great on the elevation and everything. It was just she moved. I mean, mm-hmm. it happens. She ran 50 yards dead. So it
worked out well, didn't it?
It worked out good.
A big old doe.
Yeah, she's a big mama. I think it cut the artery inside. Yeah. She bled out inside. So it worked out. You know, looking back on it now, I probably rushed it. Mm-hmm. Well, getting out into the woods, being anxious. And I knew better. You know, it worked out great. She's in the freezer. I found her fast. Just wasn't the ideal shot that I wanted. If she would have stayed still, I would have hit her, like, it was a little bit quarter two shot, 20 yards, and I would have hit her right in that shoulder, you know, right out the back of the shoulder and been done. She would have made it nowhere, but, I don't know, just, I'm happy, I'm excited that, you know, I finally got it, but in a way, I'm kind of disappointed in my shot placement, you know, it's like.
Well, it worked out well.
Yeah.
A good experience. I will, you know, I just thought about this, and I have to bring this up, because I know you and, you and John Workman kind of go back at each other all the time, you know, just teasing or whatever.
Yeah.
But I have to say, John, if you're listening, right out of your mouth, John, you did say on a podcast right here, we can go back and listen to it. You said if a traditional hunter walks in the shop, he's the king.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, John, but toot toot.
He didn't say the king, but he's the man.
The man. I will be getting a shirt made that says the man, and that's what John will have to refer to me as.
Yeah, you might have to bring that up to him if you don't listen to this.
No, but I had a lot of pointers, man. I mean, I know I had that recurve and I'm almost ashamed to say it. I honestly expected this to be a very long journey.
Mm-hmm.
Getting my first recurve kill. And I had it 5 days, and I killed a deer with it.
Yeah, we was just chatting, and next thing I know, I see a doe picture. I was like, did I miss something?
Yeah, I sent you a message. I was like, man, I'd like to get one with it, and boom, it happened. But I had a lot of pointers, and I had messed around with them some mm-hmm. in the bow shop. And Ed, he's an older gentleman that's in there a lot, and he was showing me some stuff one day in June, and I was looking on YouTube and trying to – just kind of dive into it. I'm kind of that way. Like, I get interested in something, and I just go at it. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's kind of what led me to get into the woods so quick with it. I don't know. I mean, it is a different world.
No doubt. You know, I used to, when I was shooting, you know, I told you I was shooting ASA and stuff, I shot out at Little Sandy Archery. Junie knows who he is, Dave. Mm-hmm. And I was just loyal to him. I lived out there close, and I had the same thoughts. I said, man, I want to shoot a little traditional, because back then when I'd go out to Grayson, to that range, there was a lot of traditional hunters out there, shooters out there.
Yeah.
They may still be. But, and of course, they love, the traditional guys love to set up the range, you know, to screw with all of us.
Yeah.
That was shooting practice for ASA. But, so he had shot fingers forever, and he'd shot traditional forever. And he was trying to teach me. He said, well, you know, he says, it's just like throwing a baseball. He said, when you have somebody out there 20, 30 yards throwing a baseball, he said, do you aim it? He said, you just throw it right in their glove. And I was like, oh, yeah. Well, that just, I mean, it makes sense, but it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
I never could figure it out. I mean, I'm always trying to aim. So what's the trick? What's the key?
Well, I was actually, I watched a few videos on that, on that particular subject. And one guy was talking about he liked to draw back and anchor, and he would actually get the arrow shaft straight down below his eye.
Mm-hmm.
And that way he could see the point of the arrow out of his peripheral vision, because he's, you know, I shoot both eyes open.
Okay.
Well,
that's
the
way most people call
it. Man, I tried that, and it did help getting your left to right, mm-hmm. but still you've got to get, you know, kind of feel the distance.
Yeah.
I tried to shoot that way for quite a few arrows, and I just couldn't get comfortable. Mm-hmm. So I went back to how I was shooting, is like you're talking about. It's like, it's repetition.
Yeah.
I stepped back to 30 yards and 40 yards with it, and just to try to get a feel for like how big the drop was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole lot more than I thought. I mean, my bow was, I chronoed it and shooting 161.
Oh, geez.
161. That's it. And it's a 51-pound recurve.
I mean, that's pretty good.
It's not bad.
I mean,
but
really, think about it.
Compared to the compound, though.
Nowadays.
You know,
no comparison. But I can remember shooting a compound when I was younger that was just, you know, with the hunting setup, it was just shooting around 210, 215, you know, not a whole lot.
And then that was fast back, you know.
Yeah, aluminum arrows and all that stuff.
Yeah. Right. So I went, I shot like 30, 40, and I felt like I was hurting myself more than I was helping.
So
I thought, you know what? Because no matter how good I get with this thing, the whole game about getting a recurve and traditional archery is getting closer,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you want to get a very close, as close a shot as you can get. So I just sat there and pounded arrows at 20 yards. And I got really comfortable to where I just draw back, find my anchor, let the arrow fly. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, I was knocking them in there pretty tight, really. So I thought, all right, it's time to go to the woods. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I don't know. If she wouldn't have took that step, I wouldn't feel as bad about it. But
well, those things happen. Like I say, you're not shooting as fast a bow as what you're used to.
Right. That was,
and I mean,
it's a lot louder.
Yeah. No, well, yeah, sure.
On the video, because I'm inside of a ground blind, and I was filming it, and she comes in, and man, when that bow went off, it was boom. I mean, really, really loud.
Well, it's a totally different challenge. That was pretty cool. You done that and just took that up, and I'm sure you'll carry that on.
Yeah. My plan next year, if I can get good enough with it, I would like to try to get an early season buck with it next year. That may happen. It may not. I don't know. Cause like my deer that I killed this year, he was close, but I don't think I could have made that shot with the recurve.
Yeah.
Maybe later.
See.
If I shoot all summer, maybe I might get there.
But. You kind of brought that up, getting an early season buck with your recurve, mm-hmm. maybe. And I'm not going to be able to take it to recurve. I just don't have the confidence I do. I'm sure I could maybe, but I will tell you something. But it was a challenge to you. It was something you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And, next year, and I haven't said anything to anybody, but I'm going to video this. So for y'all listening, and I want to hunt as cheap as I can next year. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, Nick. This sounds crazy and it's stupid. But I'm going to do it because I just want to.
I'm intrigued already. Let's
hear it. I'm going to film everything I do. I'm going to go to Walmart. I know I have camo. I mean, I've been sponsored camo and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Have all them goodies. But it's just something I want to do. I want to tally it up. It doesn't cost $1 million to hunt. And I just want to prove that.
And what about your bow?
So, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to, and I want to make sure it's a bow that has plenty of kinetic energy. But
yeah,
I'm going to go to Junie's and I'm going to get the cheapest thing he has.
Mission craze. There you go.
Whatever it is.
Probably.
As long as, and I'm going to get cheap sights, and I'm good if I have to put a flipper rest on it, yeah. And I'll just have to practice with it. But I want it to have kinetic energy. Yeah, I love the deer then.
You want it to do, yeah. It's not a game, but I know what you're getting at.
You know, I don't want to go out there and wound a buck just because I was goofing off or nothing.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get the cheapest bow. Get the cheapest camo. I'll go to Walmart this January and I'm going to buy it when it goes $10 and I'm going to add it all up. It's just something I'm going to do. I'm going to get aluminum arrows.
I think it's cool, man.
And then I'm going to go try to get my early season buck with a whitetail 2 or whatever I get.
Yep. I mean, I think it's awesome.
It's just something
I'd like to see it.
Kind of like you with recurve. And I'm going to film all that stuff. So you all.
It's kind of cool to go backwards on some stuff because, man, you get.
Just get back to your roots.
I mean, and I'm bad of it. I'm not going to say like I'm a gear snob or anything, but I'm the guy that, I've got Sitka camo and I shoot a Matthews bow and all that. And I've got the fanciest stuff that you can get, but you don't have to have that to get out in the woods.
No, you don't have to have it. And I'm like you, I shoot an Elite. Mm-hmm. I've got the big camo, but you know, well, I'll tell you, Nick, and we talked a little bit before, I've had several guests on here and I have several lined up. And, you know, a lot of guys that shoot big mature bucks, a lot of guys that do a lot of different things. But I wanted this to be a platform for all hunters.
Right.
And I've asked guys that I know are just meat hunters to come on here. And it's almost like they feel they can't come on and talk. Well, man, we're all hunters.
Yeah.
I want people to come on here. And, I mean, we should be able to respect each other.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. Yeah. I think everybody that hunts would love to get the biggest buck possible.
All of us. I think that's buck.
Whether you're a crossbow hunter, compound, traditional gun hunter, whatever. Every time we go out in the woods, what are you looking for? You're looking for that big buck.
All of
that's
us.
What from being a kid, that's the way it was. I just wanted a big old buck, you know. Well, now the standard has become, well, what did he measure? Yeah. How big is he?
Yeah.
And it feels like we've gotten away from just hunting and enjoying hunting. Just like we were talking about, all these mounts is hanging on the wall. Every one of them's got a story. Every one of them means something different. Yeah. And one of the smallest ones that you have is your favorite.
He's my favorite right there in the corner.
Right.
I love him.
You know, I read an article today, actually, about a woman that had a deer scored for her son. And it scored 164 inches, and she was furious at the guy that scored it because it didn't make 170.
See.
I mean, where are we going?
Where are we going? And, you know, when we have these conversations, I feel like, you know, the guys that I know work their tail off to manage bucks and to kill these big bucks, I just hope they don't ever take that personally. Like, we're talking towards them. That's not what it is at all.
No,
and those guys.
I'm not calling out anybody out there.
Just all of us. We're all hunters.
Individually.
And a lot of times what I was saying is I feel like the guys that don't kill the big bucks or the meat hunters just feel like they're not part of the, we're all brotherhood.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I got it.
And I'm like, well, why? Why would you not come on here and talk? Well, I don't kill no big bucks. Well, I don't care. I just want to hear your hunting story. I want to hear how you
I haven't either, and this is my third time.
Yeah. You did kill. You
well,
good
decent.
Bucks. You killed your biggest buck issue.
Yeah, I've killed decent deer, but,
you know,
I mean, I'm not in the league of a lot of guys, and that's okay with me.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, when I go out there next year, I'm going to want to try to get a bigger buck if I can. And if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. And I'm still
going
to.
What makes you excited? It's right. going to be a great
And
memory.
I'm still
going to
stack does up like firewood. Yeah. And that's what a lot of, you know, I get a lot of crap for shooting does. And I film doe hunts just like I film buck hunts. Yeah. I mean, I film hanging the stands to, you know, the hunt itself, and it's edited just like a buck hunt. Mm-hmm. And I've got crap on that from YouTube, from people's like, well, how do you get adrenaline pumping? It's just a doe.
It's a like, hunt.
Well, it's, yeah, that's what I'm getting
it's
at.
It's a hunt.
I guess I'm running around that whole thing, but I don't know how we're hunting, but we're getting so far away from like how I enjoyed it as a child.
Yeah.
That it didn't, and that was before trail cameras and all this stuff. But when me and my dad went in the woods, we were just happy to be together. Mm-hmm. Like today, I spent the entire day with my dad.
Yeah.
We were putting out corn and set up a ground blind and trying to find some areas that will hold a late season buck is what we're trying to do. And we just enjoyed the day. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't kill a buck, it's not going to be the end of the world. We don't care. It's time together.
It's just having a good time. That's what hunting is all about.
Right.
But, you know, it's just a...
And I've always enjoyed hunting with other people. Mm-hmm. I like getting out there by myself just like anybody else. But I think being able to share the experience with other people is really cool.
Yeah.
And I like to try to inspire other people to do stuff. And, I mean, I'm not saying like I'm Joe Cool or anything like that, but since I killed my recurve, I've had like 6 people message me that's wanting to get recurves now.
It's
cool.
That is cool.
I wanted to push myself with
promoting hunting.
Yeah. Not saying that I'm getting bored with the compound or anything like that.
It's a challenge. Just,
yeah, I wanted something different.
Yeah.
Something challenging that I can be like, okay, well, I done that, you know, let's check
kill
that
a
on
with,
list.
I killed a deer with a recurve.
Yeah. And that's
something I haven't done.
It's not easy, and hunting in general is not easy.
No,
you know, I think the easiest form of hunting is with a gun. Then it'll step down to your crossbow, and that's what I'm kind of wanting to find a harder way to do it for whatever reason. I don't know, but you've got like the gun, then the crossbow, then the compound, and then
you've got
the recurve, and then the traditional, you know, like a stealth bow. And I think that's going to be my next step.
Yeah. Build your own bow, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been watching videos again, and it's got my interest peaked for sure.
Yeah.
There's a guy that I work with, and he built his own bow and his own arrows and flint napped his own broadheads. I mean, he really went all out, and he killed a doe with his bow. I don't know. It's just cool, man.
That is a trophy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all trophies.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
But that's
what's cool.
That's great.
You literally took a log out of the woods and made a bow out of it. Just kind of getting back to the ancestral type
stuff. To the roots, for sure.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I love that. Well, you know, I don't know. We're kind of on the subject. We won't get too much into it, but, I posted, I'm going to have Jason Jones on tomorrow. You know who Jason Jones is? Austin Jones.
Austin's dad. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Well, he's going to come on tomorrow. And,
oh, cool.
And he had, you know, unless something happens. And
right.
He had shared a post there and
I read it. It was so good.
But here's the thing. And we kind of talked about Kyle's.
Yeah.
You know, he said, is bow hunting killing hunting?
Yeah.
That's with a question mark. That wasn't a statement.
Right.
And I'm glad that you read it.
Brought up a lot of good points.
It brought up a lot of good points. And he wasn't saying bow hunting killed
hunting,
but I know a lot of people looked at it and was like,
it got my wheels turning.
But I looked at some of the comments, people were like, well, bow hunting is not killed bow hunting. Well, if you actually read what he was saying,
right.
He's not saying that. What he's saying is bow hunting has consumed a lot of our time.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people, and you know,
well, you
Nick and Kyle and Jake had commented today on that, Jake Corngrable. And, you know, they didn't really have nobody to bring them up or something.
Right.
All they ever wanted to do was bow hunt. And I know there are people like that. I mean, those three. I know all three of those guys. And,
what was your first animal you ever killed?
Was a squirrel.
There you go.
And that's what Jason was trying to get to. What he was trying to say is, you know, that's probably the best way to introduce a youth or someone new is squirrel hunting, rabbit hunting. And, you know, and I'll tell you exactly what Jason said. And this is your episode.
Oh, right. Let's just talk.
Just to explain something.
Nobody cares about me. Let's go.
He's talking about, killing a squirrel. Yeah. Exactly what Jay said. You know, when I was young, and I know things are totally different, and but we look forward to gun season. We had a little shack down there we called a cabin. I still stay in that thing. I lived in that. And I'm telling you, it's a shack. No bathroom. We got our water outside. If I wanted food, you know, we worked on that farm. I lived with my grandpa. Cool. And if I wanted to eat meat, I had to kill a rabbit or a squirrel. That's just the way it was. That's the way I grew up. I'm not that old, but I grew up that way.
But that's cool, though. There's not many people that do.
But we look forward to gun season. Monday and Tuesday of gun season. You know, they'd take me out of school. That was a big day. And there'd be eight of us. Some people would stay in the camper, some in the shack there. And as Jason said, they're all telling lies. I was just a kid sharpening a knife.
Right.
And that experience was so awesome. And I know a lot of people have not got to experience that. And it was gun season. And
you had something to look forward
maybe
to.
Maybe people would shoot two or three deer or whatever. But now I get 14 and I get an old cheap bow. And kind of just like his post said there, I started spending more time. Only thing I want to do was deer hunt.
Squirrel season.
So squirrels, rabbits.
Squirrel season turns into bow season.
Grouse.
Yeah.
Everything. Well, I didn't want to go in the woods to disturb the deer. Okay.
Right.
And, you know, I hate to say it, but if I love to introduce people to the outdoors, but I still, if I take a kid hunting, I don't take them to where I kill my deer. I have an extra spot. You know,
there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, but I think I could see where some people would be like, you know.
Hey, you don't go tromping around in there. And I get it.
I don't know. And then you go to the video games. Well, there was video games. I mean, even when I was young, old Mike Tyson knockout, it was like a, what is it they play now? Fortnite.
I don't know.
To us, you know. Yeah. It was a big deal. So there was video games even back then. So I don't know what the problem is, but the numbers are declining. And I know I've beaten in the bush.
But I thought that post brought up some great stuff. How it was talking about the early season, September, October. Now that is bow season. And the first Saturday in November, that was always Kentucky's opener of gun season. And like when I was a kid, that's what I looked forward to. I didn't have the compound bow. So Dad would take me squirrel hunting, like August, September. We'd go squirrel hunting or whatever, go hunt rabbit, and then we'd have gun season. And if you'd done any good, then great. And if not, it was like, okay, well, rabbit season. And
yeah.
But I think it's almost kind of a firearm thing. Yeah. So I kind of see what he's saying about, or what, not Jason, but the article was bringing to light what is bow hunting doing?
Yeah.
And it raised my eyebrows. I was like,
and he wasn't blaming. And even at the end of that, he's like, do I really believe bow hunting's killing it? No. But like I said, there's a lot of good points there that things have changed. And for people that have never experienced it, I know it's easy to say, well, I never come up wanting to do those things. Well, I mean, because you never experienced that.
Yeah.
But, you know,
like
I'm a hardcore bow hunter, and I know you are, Nick. That's what we do. If I wasn't tagged out, I'd still be bow hunting.
For sure.
But that's what my whole season would be.
I want the second buck tag at Kyle Gross is selling.
Well, listen, that was nothing but a war.
You know, I feel bad talking about that without Kyle here,
Kyle just, and to bring it up, if any of y'all seen that, you know, and I'll tell you, that's another problem. It's how good is social media? Social media, we could use it to promote the outdoors, but I think all of us hunters are using it it's the vision, you know.
You know, I think here's the main problem with social media. You get it's so easy to say stuff to people on there that you would never say to their face.
Oh, yeah, easily.
That's the kicker to me is the way some of those guys blew up on that post, or any post in general. It's like, come on.
Well, really? Like we was talking, Kyle, just like Jason.
It's just a question.
He asked a question.
Yeah.
I disagree with the two tags.
Right.
You know, and I was arguing my views.
And I agree. And I agree with it under certain circumstances.
Brandon Phipps had very good points.
Yep.
On what he had to say. A lot of people on both sides, I could look both ways.
Yeah.
And I could make an argument for about everyone was saying.
Yeah.
But then that's all Kyle was wanting. But it was the total beatdown.
It's very easy to jump on that bandwagon of guys that are bashing somebody for some reason. I mean, I try to go into everything with just an open mind.
That's where you have to do it.
Because when Kyle had actually mentioned that to me before, probably a few months ago. And at first I was like, heck yeah, man, it'd be awesome. Well, I never thought about any of the negative stuff that would come along with it. And the more I thought about it, I thought at the end of it, my conclusion on two buck tags in Kentucky is I would be for it if we went back to check-in stations. Mm-hmm. We done away with the online telecheck, because I know of guys that are still hunting and have killed 3 or 4 bucks.
That's killing me.
That's what I'm getting at. And some of them are getting mounted under the wife's name.
That's not right.
And check-in stations used to keep that in check.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, anyway, not well, to get off on
truth.
That too,
everybody
too
knows
much.
That.
But I would like to see check-in stations come back to where if you killed your first buck, you had to go to the check-in station to check it in. And then at that time, you could buy your second buck tag that you wasn't issued 2 buck tags right off the get-go. That's how I would like to see it done. But, you know, what I would like is maybe is not what's good for everybody else. And I understand that. And
well,
that's,
you know,
that's just my take on it.
That's a good point. That's a good take, good view on that thing. You know, something that I was thinking of, and I wasn't about to put it on there because there's enough. You know, all poor kid, and you know how nice Kyle is.
Right. Mean,
and of course, I was going back and forth with Kyle myself. And, something I always thought about. So we have a lot of people. Well, we have two type of people, two type of hunters, really. You have those who want to manage and those that say they're meat hunters.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
So I've thought, you know, kill two birds with one stone. You have to tag a doe before you get your buck tag. Now, meat hunters should be happy, and the guys that want to manage the herd or the bucks, they should be happy. I know some states do that.
Yeah, there is like an earn a buck tag or something. I think Maine, maybe? Or something.
I'm not sure what state is. And I'll tell you,
I could be wrong.
I'm the perfect proof of why that should happen, because we do need to take our does. And guess what? I still haven't filled my doe tag.
Now that's, shame on you, Rob.
Seriously.
I know.
I mean, how many doe tags do I have? What, 2, 3?
You get 3.
I have 3.
But you have to buy 2. That's
I have to buy 2, so I have 1.
Yeah, unless they've changed it.
And I haven't even filled that 1. Yeah. And we have
and
it.
You're so probably, and you're probably not going to.
No. No, I look at a doe out my back kitchen all the time. I'm like, you know, I could shoot her. Legally.
For some reason, for man, me. Like, I see a big old fat doe out in the field, and I just get the itchy trigger finger. Well, I don't know.
And I'll tell you, I do. I'm going to have to do it because I want some more roast.
Yeah.
But I think that what, and this is what I'm saying, is to help the buck doe ratio. And that's our, I would think that's probably our biggest problem as far as if we wanted to, we have big bucks. I mean, everybody around here, we've all, I think everyone I know killed a buck in this area.
Or has had an encounter with a good one.
They're happy with.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. That's,
and we're not a big buck. We have no ag.
No.
No nothing. So something good is going on. I don't know what it is. But it's not terrible.
I don't know. I mean, there's, it's hard to try to solve the world's problems.
But we're always going to pick.
Just like I said, man, everything is a double-edged sword. You know, to play the devil's advocate, how mad would you be that, let's just say this was your idea, and they were like, that's great, let's do it. And then here you are hunting, first opening evening in September, here walks a 175-inch 10-point, and there's a doe standing there.
And you know how many texts I get and messages?
Right, but that's what I'm getting at. Is
just you, rhyme or Sean,
you would have to shoot that doe in order to kill the buck. And
that's the double-edged sword, like you
there
said.
There you go.
But now you're helping your buck doe ratio.
Oh, I'd be so mad at you if that happened. I'd be like, daggummit, Rob.
Let me tell you something. If that were to happen and people listen to this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
He's always stern.
You'll have pitchforks and torches out in the front yard.
You've got to talk about different stuff.
Kill that guy.
They're going to burn my Santa Claus outside anyways. If I keep it up.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, well. You got to be a little different, don't you?
You got to.
I could repeat the same things we've been hearing for the last 20 years, but heck with it.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, these are my own thoughts.
Yeah.
Like I said, yours, but that is true. Man.
I don't know. It's
that would happen, that 175-incher. Let's just, I think that's a bad idea.
Let's just
I
not
just want
do
you
that.
All to know that. I was just blowing smoke.
Yeah. let's not go that route.
Well, anyways, let's get back to your big velvet buck this year, and I seen a pretty cool post.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about the mount and all that stuff?
I was really surprised. So, earlier in June, I killed a black bear in Canada, and I was wanting to get it mounted, so it's in the freezer. And I killed my 8-point. I killed a nice velvet buck this year, open day bow season. So I was like, okay, so I'm going to get these two mounted together. And I've been shopping around forever, man, after I killed them, and trying to find somebody to do it at a good price. I did get a couple good quotes, but I just never, I don't know, just procrastination in a way, I guess. Yeah. You know, just never got around to it like we do everything else. And let me back up here. So when I killed the buck, I didn't have any room in my freezer at the time, and my dad didn't have no room in his freezer because he had my bear and all that crap in there. So Dusty, he said, I'll take it to my house and put it in my freezer. I was like, okay, that's cool. That'll work. So what he said, September like the 8th or 9th or something, he took it to the taxidermist. Well, I had no idea. I didn't know because it was at his house. And I'd been over there so many times because we're still hunting on the weekends trying to get him a buck. And, we was over there, and there was a few times it had entered my mind on the way over that I wanted to show my wife the buck because she never even got to look at it. And, never got around to it. Worked out good. But anyway, a couple weeks ago, him and his wife was going to come over to the house, and they were going to drop some stuff off, to my wife for her clothing shop that she owns. And I just kind of thought it was odd. They were just really adamant about, my wife was like, you need to be home. Like, mm-hmm. tonight you need to come home at this time. And I was like, okay, whatever, it's cool. Mm-hmm. So I come over, and Dusty walks in. He's got this big trash bag. And I was like, what the heck? What's going on here? Like, everybody's acting weird. And he pulls the bag off of it, and it was my buck as mounted.
Pretty awesome. That was quite a surprise, huh?
I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Are you serious? So, yeah, that was, I was surprised that I had no idea, but you know, that adds more to the memory. You know, he's lifelong best friend, and, he was with me the night I killed that buck, and he got a mount for me. So it's pretty cool.
It's so much more fun with hunting buddies and
it is, man.
Things like that.
I enjoy the crap out of it. I mean, we've had good days and bad days out there, and you know, sometimes you gotta have somebody lean on in a way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it would be boring hunting, you know, just without hunting buddies.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this year I've had more fun. I've had a lot of fun hunting this year, and it's because of you guys.
I have
you
too, man. Like the opening, like our opening season was wild.
It was so much fun. I mean, you was texting, Tyler was texting.
It was a wild ride.
Kyle, John, Cody.
Yeah.
Everybody on and on. I mean, you know, even watching Nick Basil, he's battled all year long, and he's the first person to help anyone.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how many deer he's helped drag out.
Yep.
And then here, which Nick's not a big guy to post anything on social media, but he killed him a big buck over in a hall, a week or so ago after a hall gun season.
It's dandy.
So did you get to see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the battle, and him sticking with it and killing that buck. I mean, it was so, and I was like, man, that's it.
Yeah.
Just about everybody is killed a buck. And his was, I was, you know, real excited for him because I know what he went through.
It's hard, man. Like, it's bow hunting can be so rewarding, but it can also break your heart.
Huh.
I mean, like four or 5 weeks ago or so, me and Dusty was in the stand, and the biggest buck we have on camera in his farm. We hadn't seen a deer all morning, never got a daylight picture of this buck, and Dusty told me, he said, here comes a giant. And I was like, oh, you gotta be, are you kidding me? So I get the camera on, and here he comes, and I can see his legs moving, and I look, and I can see the rack, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's the big one.
Yeah.
Here he's coming straight in, and he stops behind this beech tree, so looks around, the wind is blowing dead in our face. We've got him smoked on the wind. He can't wind us. There's no way.
Yeah.
And that buck just kind of walks in to 20 yards. He's standing, Dusty needs two more steps to draw his bow and shoot this deer.
Oh my goodness.
He just like lifts his head up a little bit, and he looks left and right and turns around and walks back the way he came.
Of course.
Like he just knew something wasn't right.
That sixth sense, man.
Like you have got to be kidding me.
Oh.
So I rattled, after he got out of sight, I rattled just a little bit, hung the horns back up and looked, and there he was staring. And he'd come back a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he turned around and he left again. I was like, gosh, dang. It'd been a good time for a decoy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, was he up like the second rut or
no, this
on
was
a food source or
corn piles.
Corn, okay. Well, yeah.
I hung over corn.
Hey, it's that time of year. Much like the early season.
Man,
I think it's even better.
I'm about to have a heart. I'm in a tough spot with the corn, with that deer, because I think, like I told Dusty, I honestly don't think we'll kill that deer over corn. Mm-hmm. I really don't. It puts them so on edge at times.
Yeah.
Like early season is killer. Late season is great.
They're already on edge.
But man, right, it was right after, or no, gun season was still going on. Actually, second week of gun season when we've seen that buck. So he just knew something wasn't right,
something,
you know?
Fishy.
And yeah. And unfortunately, we were at a part in Dusty's property that we couldn't, I couldn't really put tree stands much further the direction he come from than where we were because of property lines. So what do you do? I mean, you know.
It's tough. You know that I had a older buck much like that. Now this was early season though. And, early season in Kentucky, we're playing the corn trick. So that's just the way it is.
Yep.
We take advantage of that, but he was kind of doing the same thing. So, I knew where he's bedding. I mean, I think you guys know where he's bedding. But, of course, you got property line problems there.
Yep.
So, where my corn was here, he was bedding over here. I ended up moving the corn pile 150 yards that way.
Smart.
And
man, I never thought about that.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now,
I do now.
I stayed where I was, but I let him get used to coming there. And now, he started easing up at the edge of...
That's got my wheels turning now.
At the edge of dark, so maybe, you know, that might help you guys.
I don't know why I didn't think of that.
If you know where he's at, you know the wind.
I've got an idea of where he's bedding at, where I think he's bedding. And the next weekend after we seen him, Dusty seen him again. Mm-hmm. I couldn't go hunting that evening. And Dusty went and, he said there was a little 8-point come in and that 8-point walked toward where the big one come from and he heard a snort wheeze.
Oh yeah, that's him.
So the big one was there, and he came into 16 yards this time, and done the same thing.
Oh yeah.
Turned around, walked back, and he stood back in the brush like 50 yards away until after dark, until the sun was completely down. Dusty was out of shooting light, and then that buck comes in and eats corn. So they're not stupid. And these guys that are the mature buck hunters that killed the older deer, I mean, I tip my hat to them guys all day because it is not easy.
It's not easy.
It's not.
But you guys are right on that one because you know where he's.
Yeah.
He's there. And
but now, we're running out of time.
Yeah,
that's true. That's the bad part.
Of course, his belly's going to get the best of him. Now, I'll tell you, Nick, I have seen a lot of people sharing pictures of sheds already.
I know.
And I have, actually, for the last couple of weeks.
It's scaring me already.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, yeah. Guys are fine. I mean, three or four years ago, me and Dusty had a buck shed November the 28th. Biggest buck he had on camera. He missed him with a bow. He shot up just barely underneath this deer and it ran off. And I think it was like 4 or 5 days after that, he had no antlers. Gone. And he never touched him. Never, you know what I mean? Sometimes they'll shed them if they're hurt. I've never seen, but I've read. And, he just, I don't know. It was odd. It wasn't even December. And he already shed. I mean, what do you do?
Well, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it, but I had John Collins on. John's a big-time predator hunter.
Yep.
And well, he hunts everything. Yeah, I think he was just out there hunting buffalo. And I'd ask him his bucket list, And, of course, a grizzly bear or brown bear or something, whatever was on. I don't know if you listened.
Yeah.
I kind of brought up your... situation out there. I couldn't remember what state he was in though.
Montana.
Mm-hmm. I think I might have said Wyoming, but I wasn't for sure.
It was pretty much. It was right there.
But after that episode, it got my interest and I had to start looking up on things. And, it sounds to me like, the grizzly bears are really coming on.
Yeah.
And from what I understand and just from things that I've read and people out west that I've, just messaged and chatted with. It seems like the DNR just don't want to admit it or something. But the people are like, hey, listen, I guess there's certain places they're kind of begging for tags or whatever.
And well, yeah. I mean, where me and Dusty went to in Montana was West Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. So you're close to the national park, and there's never been any hunting there. And eventually all those animals that's never been hunted are going to, you know, they're going to run out of habitat. So they're going to start migrating out. Of course. I mean, of course that's going
to
happen.
Well, yeah, they have to.
And I mean, the game warden that we run into a game warden the first night on the mountain. And his first question was, he asked us, he said, what kind of pistols you guys got?
Yeah, that's what I was telling John.
And I was like, oh God, here we go. And he kind of, the way he talked, man, he was like, listen, don't worry about getting a ticket if you got to kill a bear. He said, that's not going to happen.
Well, that just tells you right there is sketchy.
Right. And I had already spent like the whole 40-hour drive telling Dusty that we're fine. Yeah. We're okay. We're not going to run into any bears. It ain't that bad or whatever. And it was that bad. I'm glad we didn't see one.
So but it seems like the population, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to get
from everything that I've read that I've seen, it looks like the bear and the wolf population exploding up.
I tell you what, them farmers have nothing for them wolves. They clean house.
Yeah, I read one article, the mountain lion killed 30-some sheep. God, this dude's sheep was in a field and it killed 30 of them in one night just to kill them.
Good grief.
Never ate them, just killed them.
That's a cat.
Right.
I mean, you know, just a regular cat is bad about that.
I mean, man, a 150-pound cat, that's a bad dude.
That's a bad dude. Some of them get up 200 pounds from what I understand.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got coyotes and bobcats, but those guys got real predators.
They have.
I mean, you know, they got stuff to worry about when they go in the woods.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that I found that was kind of mentally exhausting in a way being out there was everywhere you went, every time you stepped over a log or whatever, I just felt for some reason I was uneasy the whole time.
Yeah.
And I think given the circumstances, if the bear population wasn't as bad where I was at, I would have killed that elk that I was on.
Yeah.
100%. I could have, cause you've always got to keep that in the back of your mind. You hear an elk bugle, you can't just go running at him. Because you can't just go crashing.
The bear hears him
too. Yeah. Because, and I've read studies on that too. There was one study that the bear was tagged and the article was about, are gunshots like ringing a dinner bell to a grizzly?
I've heard that.
So this is what the article is about. And they had a bear that was tagged with a GPS tracker. And they had a group of hunters and they had GPS and all that stuff. Well, they killed an elk or whatever. They was out hunting and that grizzly had got within 100 yards of 6 hunters and they never reported seeing it.
Hmm.
So like,
he's a lot better hunter than we are.
For sure.
Those grizzlies are
sure.
Coyotes.
So when they killed that elk, he was there.
Yeah.
He was around. And I'm sure that we were right there, and I'm sure a bear probably seen us because we walked down this creek bed and we found a keel. It was an old one, but it was a bunch of elk bones laying there. And I just got a feeling. I was like, man, this is sketchy. I don't like this. And Dusty's like, let's get out of here. I was like, I think it'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
So we headed out. But, man, those guys, they got some stuff to deal with out there. And I'm not going to say I wouldn't go back to Montana because it's beautiful, awesome country, but it's different. When you're from somewhere that I never even pack a pistol in the woods, I take my bow, I go bow hunting, I don't worry about nothing. I mean, early season you got snakes, but that ain't no big deal. I mean, we're used to that, you know, but, out there it's just different.
Well, I don't know if I told you or on one of the episodes, but I've mentioned it on here before, you know, when I was checking, I think it's when I first put my camera out, here in Kentucky. I went through a nasty briar patch, so I was going through it slow, and I already had my mineral lick set.
Mm-hmm.
So it had been in August, probably, or maybe late July. And as I got through there, I looked up, and there was a black bear, which you know, we don't see very many black bears, which they are coming on here.
Right.
And, which I carry my 9mm. I mean, what am I going to do with 9mm? With a black bear. I mean, I carry it for, you know, meth heads or something.
I got you.
But just in case. Not black bears. But, you know, I couldn't imagine a grizzly bear. I was startled enough.
Mm.
And, you know, I had the wind in my favor, and I went through there so quiet, you know, trying to get through the briars. And, you know, I'm a deer hunter. I don't care when it is. I know they're bedding in that area, so I'm quiet. And, man, I walked around it, and that wind kind of shifted.
Hit
her or him.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Jerry was up on the floor. He said, what the hell was that?
What happened?
Damn bear.
There was a bear. I'm not too afraid of black bears
yeah.
in a in certain situations.
Yeah.
But man, it just seems like those grizzlies are just.
Oh, well, I'm scared of that grizzly.
Well, they're not afraid of anything, then they don't have to be. They are the apex predator.
Yeah.
And those guys really do need some help up there, it seems like.
Well, just from the thing, you know, I'm just talking about, you know, and which it wouldn't help us as far as them guys out there, but I do want to get a biologist on in here from, you know, I know there's just a lot of questions that I've heard from guests and people that I've talked to, and I think it'd be nice to have one on just to pick their brain, and maybe they could share some info with all of us that,
that's the truth.
The way we could understand what's going on.
Because it seemed like for a long time that they denied that there was bears in the areas close to here.
And I've seen two, one in turkey season and then that one.
And mountain lions, that was one thing that they've really dismissed a lot of in Kentucky for a long time. Mountain lions.
I mean, I've heard people... I'll tell you, I'm going to open myself up. People think I'm
here
a prick anyways and crazy. But I had it was a basketball coach of mine. I'd probably been in the 7th or 8th grade. But he hunted. You know, it's just the way things were back then. Everyone hunted.
Yeah.
And he had got me on a piece of property, his mom and dad's. Well, I was going to go over and I thought he was messing with me at first, but his mom and dad, you know, big time Christians and stuff. And he said, Robbie, he said, you don't think crazy. He said, there's a mountain lion or something down there. And of course we had called and the game warden, DNR, and they denied it, which, you know, sure there wasn't but I don't know what it was, but there was a cat screaming the next morning. I come, cause he told me, he said, you can come. He said, but I seen that. He said, I'm a little leery. And he said, mom and dad's been seeing it. So the next morning though, I go with him.
We're there.
We park and you could hear that thing screaming. And I've heard a bobcat. There's a difference.
Yeah, there's a difference.
And now that's a long time ago. And there was other people that had seen it. Of course, there wasn't the trail cameras and stuff back then. But I mean, who's to say they haven't passed through?
That's what I was getting ready to mention was you would think that you would start seeing them on trail cameras, especially as popular as they are today.
You would think now you would see them.
And I can see to take up for those fish and wildlife. You know, guys, the top dogs that's in on that and stuff. I mean, to take up for them a little bit, eyewitness testimony is the worst thing that you can go off of. And I mean, we still prosecute people because of it, but it's just like playing the telephone game when you're a little kid and you got 30 people in a circle and you start out with one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You start out with one thing and then by the time it gets back, it's completely different. It's the same way with people seeing stuff. I mean, but you would think that there would be more pictures of them.
You would think now.
Nowadays.
I mean, of course, I've seen.
But from what
I've seen people with black cats on their trail cams and arguing it was a panther.
Panthers.
Have you seen that before?
Come on.
Is that just me?
Yeah,
I was like, I'm pretty sure it's a black cat.
Well, sometimes you get pictures that make you kind of wonder what it is. But, I mean, for the area we're at, it's going to be a black bear or bobcat or, you know. Coyote.
Well, and you know,
not to say that there's not. I'm not saying that there isn't mountain lions around, but and they do take up a humongous area for habitat that I've read. It's I don't want to say a number because I know I'd be wrong, but it was mind boggling how big like a male cat will claim. So I don't know.
We've got on all kind of stuff now, ain't we?
Now we're
conspiracy theories.
Conspiracy deer it's hunting on. Conspiracies.
This is great.
I don't know.
So, anyways.
I'm ready for next season already.
I'm
telling you one thing. Killing a buck on opening day is cool, but it's more bitter than it was sweet.
Yeah, you was done right off the bat.
Yeah, if I wasn't into the film game, oh my gosh, man, I would be so bored because duck season is just now getting going.
You duck hunt?
A little bit.
See, I'm going to start. I mean, I haven't went.
Oh, it's so fun. I've told Kyle this. It will almost make you forget about hunting deer.
I've heard that.
It's a lot of fun.
Cody's down there in Mississippi or somewhere.
Yeah,
right
he's
now.
Blasting them right now.
Yeah. Sure. Pictures of wrapping them in bacon.
Yeah,
and all that crap.
I've seen that. I've got a buddy that, he hunts out around Vanceburg area. Mm-hmm. And he's got gun dogs and boats, and he was the only guy that I've ever seen that hunts ducks around here. And, you know, of course our flyway isn't very good. But there is ducks and geese and stuff like that. But man, it's just what appealed to me about the duck and geese stuff was it kind of felt like hunting again. Like you're with your buddies. You don't have to be quiet at times. Most of the time you don't have to be quiet. You can talk and laugh and tell stories and all of a sudden everybody goes, shh, you know, ducks, 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 and get ready. And then somebody will call the shot and you just start shooting and birds are falling. And
hunting.
It's fun, man. It's really hunting, is.
Yeah, like I said.
You need to try it. I mean, I'm big into just trying all different kinds of hunting.
Oh, I'm going to go. And of course, now I've got into predator hunting starting last year.
I'm going to have to go with you.
You have to go with me. And I'll tell you, and of course, we're going to have John back on and some other predator hunters. And he's going to go over some sequences.
That guy knows his stuff.
And listen, he's an open book.
Yeah.
He's all about promoting outdoors and getting people outdoors like we all should be.
Yeah.
And what's best for us might not be best for the hunting as a whole. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And sometimes just take a breath and think, you know, this is better for me. Well, you know.
It's crazy how many different animals there is out for us to be able to hunt. And the tactics used to kill those animals is, it's kind of mind-blowing when you go to, like, a different type of hunting than what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say a guy was a rabbit hunter. He only wanted rabbit hunt, but now he wants to hunt mature whitetails.
Yeah.
He would be like, wow, just blown away at how hard it is and how much stuff there is to it. And I'm sure that's the same with predator hunting.
It's the same thing.
There's tips and tricks and all that. And it's
bow hunting deer, that's what I've done for years. It's just nothing. I mean, I'm not saying it's nothing to me. It's just something I've done forever.
You know how to do it.
But now I go predator hunting. I hate to sound bad here, but I think I get more excited because the unknown.
Yeah.
Listen, I know what's going on when I'm hunting. I know whether I'm probably going to kill one or I need to work a little hard to find one. I kind of just know. When I'm predator hunting, I'm still learning every time I go out there. Not that I don't want deer hunting, but you know what I mean.
That was what kind of drew me to the recurve idea was
the unknown.
Mixing it up a little bit of trying something different. And I mean, it's the same way with hunting waterfowl. I mean, when you're laying in a cut cornfield and you're in a layout blind and you got it all over top of you and you're all camoed in and you've got 60 geese over top of your head getting ready to land right in front of you. I mean, your heart is pounding.
Oh my gosh. See,
it's fun.
I can't wait. Now I have the gun and everything.
You gotta go, man.
You know, I bought all the stuff. I have the gun, so I'm definitely going to go. But, you know, and I'm just going to get back to predator hunting. And we'll go. It's inexpensive. It's nothing real expensive. You could take, if you have a deer rifle.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'll just tell you, the furs from around here, they're not worth anything anyways. And the biggest thing, these guys that, you know, use these smaller calibers, the reason is because of the fur.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you just want to go out to try it, I mean, use your deer rifle. If you've got 243, whatever, just use it.
I've seen guys kill them with shotguns.
You can kill them with shotguns.
Get them in, you know, if you're close enough.
And the calls, you know, that little electronic call I bought is just... And I think it might have been $100, if that. I mean,
right.
But you can use mouth calls, just all kind of things.
It's
pretty exciting. The wind is the key, I will tell you, just as deer.
Yep.
So
I'm excited to try it. I mean, just like you said, anything is new. It's different. The unknown, that's where the excitement's at with hunting and all these different animals. I mean, I'm kind of ambitious, but I would love to go on a moose hunt. I would love
to do a moose hunt.
I'd love to go caribou, elk, elk again and be successful, mule deer and all these different animals because I think there's a lot of stuff that ties in together with all these different critters out there. But the more you can learn, the better hunter you're going to become.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I want to be. I want to kill big bucks just like anybody else, but I'm not solely set on, I'm a whitetail hunter.
Well, we talked before, you're kind of on the Remy Warren path.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The solo hunter. And, you know, Remy gets forgotten a lot because he just don't get,
you know,
he can post something on Facebook. I'm friends with Remy
and
I've messaged him back and forth on Facebook a few times. He can post something on there and he might get 10 likes or something. Like no one knows, but now on Instagram, they blow him up.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
He don't care.
I think guys like Remy, is doing it for the right reasons. And yeah. I'm glad to see guys into the hunting world that are that way.
Yeah.
Another one I'm a big fan of is Donnie Vincent. Mm-hmm. He's got a new film coming out and I want to watch it, but, I mean, they just like Donnie Vincent, he's got a huge following. He's popular in the hunting world, in the community. If you guys don't know who he is, just look him up. But he doesn't wear camo. He don't care.
Yeah.
Like, he's just...
You don't have to play that game.
He's kind of that way. Like, he almost wants to make it a point to not wear camo, which I think is cool. Because he killed, like... I think it was... He was talking about he killed an elk wearing, like, a big red beanie and plaid flannel shirt and just...
They're colorblind.
Yeah. and that was kind of what drew me to him, was I was like, you know... This guy's right, because my grandpa, he still hunts in like an old pair of Carhartt bibs, flannel jacket, and a big, huge flannel or a big orange over jacket, the solid orange, kills a big buck every year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I read a quote, Fred Bear said the best, the best camouflage was to sit down and be quiet. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I think that's true.
Agree.
But I do like the Sitka stuff because of the performance.
It's popular.
Yeah, they say that there's a lot of science to the camo patterns, and maybe there is. Does it work any better than real tree? Mm-hmm. I can't really say one way or another. I mean, honestly, I don't feel like I'm invisible out there.
Yeah.
I know I'm warm.
Oh yeah, that's
I'm not. That's the thing.
That's
I'm not,
probably the main thing.
I'm not cold. I mean, the stuff is crazy high, but. I bought it 4 years ago, still using it. There's not a stitch popped in, nothing, zippers, everything's perfect, so.
I've never had a bad report on Sitka, everybody seems to love it.
Yeah, and not that I'm a, you know, that's just what I use, but like the First Light, I think John Workman wears First Light and he really likes it. I mean, your higher end camos are going to last you. They do.
Yeah.
You do get what you pay for with that stuff.
Well, you know, Nick, you're around the bow shop all the time and, I need to get in there and start shooting spots because I'm going to get back in the ASA this year.
Junie's having tournaments now.
I've seen that. And Kyle told me in the, you know, I need to get my old back tension out. It's old. But you know what? I've used it for so many years.
It works. It works.
It's old four finger. I don't even know what it's. I'm true ball, I'm sure. It's hard to say
probably.
What it is back then.
That or a Carter or something like
no,
that.
No, it wasn't a Carter. I'm not sure. I'll show it to you when we get up there.
All right.
Of course, back in the day, it was the top of the line. You know, I had to have the top of the top.
The best.
But,
I would like to build me a bow for that. I had one. I had a Halon X 35-inch bow or whatever it was. And I had it all set up. And I just, I don't know. I didn't just kind of fizzled out with it for some reason. I don't know. I enjoy it, though. I mean, I would just think I'd rather just shoot my hunting bow in spots and stuff.
That's what I'm going to spend.
Not get too crazy into it, because, man, it's expensive.
It's expensive.
It's outrageous.
I mean, I'll tell you, and that's another thing. You don't have to have all that kind of stuff. You don't have to spend $3,000, and you could very easily spend $3,000.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to go shoot ASA.
Yeah.
And you could. But I tell you, that's another thing, just the camaraderie of getting out and shooting spots, shooting the ranges with your friends. I met so many people when I was shooting the ASA and the IBO back then. And, of course, if you're going to do that, you're going to shoot all the local ranges. So I was at Jackson, Grayson, Silver Eagles, all over the place.
There's a lot of traveling and you meet a lot of people doing that.
And man, it's just a blast. And I tell you, it pays off in the deer woods. I mean, the things I did back then are still a habit to me now.
For sure.
The basics.
Shooting
3D. Fundamentals.
Shooting 3D targets, man, there is no better practice.
You know, we was talking earlier about, and of course, the last couple of days has all been about, it's been a Debbie Downer as far as talking about the deer numbers going down. Nobody wants to talk about that because it's uncomfortable, but it is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that is another way, that's not during deer season when we're bow hunting, but that is another avenue we could take to get kids out in the woods, and they would love that because they have a class for everyone at the ASA.
Okay.
And it's just like
the NASP has been
so much fun.
I think that was one of the biggest kickstarts ideas anyway with NASP was to get kids shooting bows to getting out into the woods. And it kind of, for some reason, it hasn't, from what I've read, it hasn't really worked as well in that aspect as what they had hoped. But what I'm happy about NASP is you don't have to try out for the teams and stuff like that. You know, kids can just, they can just go shoot. And it's something for them to get involved in. You know, it teaches them all the stuff that comes along with being on a team. You know, the teamwork and the loyalty and all that is, it's great. And, that can carry on, just like you're saying, you know, when you go shoot all this other stuff is, man, archery is, it's really changed my life for sure. I mean, I don't know where I don't know who I'd be without a bow and arrow.
I mean, and I don't know how much. Of course, tomorrow we're going to have that episode that, with Jason Jones, and he'll be talking about the bow hunting, kill hunting, you know, and it's a question, and you'll hear, just, you have to hear him out if you're listening before you flip out. Because we're all bow hunters, because I'm a diehard.
Well, I mean, I think it just, the main thing when you listen to stuff is, man, just keep an open mind.
Yeah,
and really try to put yourself in somebody else's shoes.
I think hunting would be a lot stronger if we could all do that, because there's a line right down through the middle of it. We're all in this big circle, and it's like being cut in a pie.
Well, man, it kills me to see, like, somebody kills a giant deer, just a freaking monster, and the first thing you'll see is, how much did you pay for it?
Was it
high fence? Mm-hmm. And I mean, they shame for big bucks. They shame for small bucks. I mean, what are you wanting here?
It's been brought up on about every guest that I've had on. Every guest feel the same way. We all, you know, but once again, it's just easier to do it on social media. We just got to buck up and forget it. But, you know, we was talking about shooting the ranges and being something good to take the kids to do. Mm-hmm. You know, both my boys came up, and at the time, I don't know what it costs now, but we got Greenbow Archery, which I think Junie runs it, or I know you used to sign up out there.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know who Greenbow anymore
does it now, but at the time, it was $30 for the whole season.
Yeah.
So it was $30 for me and my family one time, and I could take them up there. I got a combination or a key to the gate, one of the two, I can't remember. And I could go up there and take them shooting all the time. And, you know, you'd have to volunteer every so often. They'd have tournaments back in.
Work a shoot or whatever.
Tuesday or Thursday, you'd work a shoot or change the targets a little bit. But it was fun. You took your family and done that. It's just another look into that. If you all don't do that, I guarantee you there's a place around that where you can shoot or take a kid shooting.
Yeah.
Or something.
Or go to try to find a local pro, some of your local pro shops will have an indoor range.
Oh yeah.
And, that's a great place to go pound arrows and teach kids without the weather elements and stuff, you know, hot, cold, wind, rain, all that stuff. There's a lot of lessons that can be taught from shooting a bow.
Oh my gosh. Listen, the fundamentals you can learn shooting spots right there is where you get your form.
Yeah.
My opinion. Do you shoot spots much?
Yeah, when you're aiming at like shooting a Vegas target, mm-hmm. and it's 20 yards and, you know, super exercise of a dime.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds easy in a way because 20 yards isn't that far, mm-hmm. but just, see how good you are.
Now, I'm going to bring up a couple things because it's been a long time since I was shooting like that. So it'd probably been 2004, 2005. And the two biggest keys for me on the Vegas, the first three shots better be dead nuts in the X. If I shot a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right,
you follow it, don't
follow
you?
That.
Yeah.
Now the second key is that everybody wants a little tiny fine pin when you're hunting. But on those, I would want a little bit thicker pin that would actually cover the X. And the reason being is now that pin's not floating around so much. Because when you have a really fine pin, if you guys are following me, when you have a really fine pin, you can see it, the movement. You're not going to hold it dead on that X, but you can see the movement. And what you do is you try to fight it, and then you have a little, it creates anxiety, target panic, and you'll punch it.
Yeah.
Am I telling the truth?
Yeah, for sure. I shoot 10,000s, like hunting and spots, but I see what you're saying there, because for hunting, when a deer gets to like 40, 50 yards for me with a 19, I can't pick a spot.
No,
it
just you want
blocks
that for
it out.
Yeah.
And I like shooting a small pin for hunting, but I shoot a small pin indoors too. And one thing that Junie told me, which it just threw me off for a while, was he said, you got to learn to look through the sight. Like, yep. And he said, that pin's always going to be swinging. It's always going to be moving. He said, you got to make that arrow go where you want and look through your sight. I'm thinking, well, what do we got a sight for? And he said, well, that's your reference.
So you don't fire.
And,
that's what he said.
Yeah. And once I kind of, I don't know, once you really dive into it, it is pretty cool how good you can shoot. And it's fun because it's something that if you're a little bit competitive, you can go with your buddy that's about your skill level and you'll be back and forth. And that makes it fun.
And you'll get better.
Yeah.
Trying to beat each other.
And then go out with somebody that you know is going to smoke you, but see how good you can do, because competition's great, and sometimes it does help to go with somebody that can just beat the snot out of
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Well, and you want to get, you know, like I can't wait to get, we'll have to shoot together.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to get back in it. And once you get your form down, it's a muscle memory like golf or anything else.
It's repetition and it's mental. There's the mental game.
The mental game. In what we were just talking about, watching that pin float,
yeah,
that's the mental game. That'll create anxiety and cause you to target punch. But then it comes down to your yardage. That's the funnest part.
Yeah.
Now, I would do much like some of these other, you know, and I learned off just shooting around with Evan Bayes back in the day. He was the best around that time. And he would turn around and face away when someone was shooting. Well, when you're shooting ASA back then, I don't know what it is now, but you had to be around 280. I think that was the max, maybe 286. You allowed so much.
On your feet per second, you
on
mean?
On your feet per second, I should say.
Yeah.
Well, if you listen enough, and if you're shooting enough, and you turn around, you can about figure out your yardage by just listening to that bow go off.
That's smart.
Seriously.
Yeah, that's true.
So if I'm pointing the other way and that guy shoots, now, I've listened to that, and if it's 40 yards, you can figure that out, and then you turn around, and you look at it, and like, you know, you put all that together.
Yeah. Man, that's smart.
That's how you're on your game with your yardage, and your yardage is everything, because if you're shooting ASA, you've got to hit 12 if you want to be competitive.
Yep.
I'll tell you another thing that I did for me that helped me, because like you said, it was a mental game, or it is a mental game. I would have to take it 5 targets at a time, and what I would do for myself, I want to be 4 up every 5 targets. And it didn't put so much, for whatever reason, it's still 20 targets in one day. But for whatever reason, it just didn't put pressure on
me. It's more manageable than looking at the whole broad picture.
The whole thing.
You break it down. Yeah.
And that helped me so much. And guess what? In 5 targets, I might go 4 up, but sometimes I might go 8 up. But once I got to my second 5 targets, I wiped that away. And in my head, I was back to 0.
Yeah. Because, and that's one thing on spots too, and especially if you do it early, if you're shooting like a 5 spot and you shoot a 4, say in the second or third round, it's golly. Because you almost feel like you can't come back from that if you're in a big competition or whatever.
It does.
And, man, being able to just block that out, saying, getting the right mindset of just focusing and just knocking the centers out. And it's hard. It's
a challenge. It's not just going out and shooting.
But like you said, when you are repetitively shooting like that, when you go into the deer woods, man, it helps so much.
You can forget it.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need that rangefinder for the most part.
No. A 20, 25 yard shot on a whitetail is a chip shot.
It really is. When you shoot like that.
When you go from shooting at a bag and just shooting for the center, then you go to shooting at something the size of a bottle cap at 20 yards, and that's what you're used to pounding. Then you hunt season gets close, you switch over and start shooting maybe your 3D targets or whatever before you go out into the woods. Man, it's just, you feel like you can just shoot any hair off that deer that you want to. And another big thing that I think is a huge help is shooting long distance.
That's for me hunting even now that I don't shoot competitive. I'm shooting 80 yards.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not shooting that hunting. That's for why you're shooting.
We're not promoting that.
No, we're not promoting to shoot that hunting. But what that is that's going to straighten up, and it's going to tell the tale of any problems that you have in your shot. And you might not see that at 30 yards, but it'll straighten it up at 80 yards, and you can shoot 80 yards. Don't think, I can't shoot 80 yards. You can shoot 80
yards.
You've
got to work yourself to it.
If you'll pull off a good shot, but you have to pull off a good shot.
That's the thing. That's the kicker. Because before I went to Montana, I was expecting out west, you just expect 60, 70-yard shots. Mm-hmm. You better be expecting that to be in the ball game. Mm-hmm. And I was shooting, I had my bow, I mean, just perfectly tuned, shooting fixed blade broadheads at 100 yards. I would start out at 70, 80, 90, and 100, 70, 80, 90, 100. And then when I got to like 40, to where you're it kind of, you know, that's your, usually for whitetail, for a lot of guys, that's your max distance, 40 yards.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, it didn't look like it was at the end of the arrow.
Yeah.
But the form check, when you shoot at 100 yards, if you are off any, you're going to miss the target. You ain't going to just knock outside the X. You're going to completely miss it.
Yeah.
And it's a good, it'll put you in check to see how good your form is, for sure.
Well, it'll test you. I mean, if you want to get better, it's definitely something you can do. I hope y'all look into that for y'all that don't shoot. I know we have a million hunters out there.
Yeah.
So you love bow hunt.
Shoot it. One thing it helps too sometimes, just shoot at a spot, like try to find like a little sticker or something. Yeah. If you live somewhere that you can't shoot, really, really far distances, just start making your target smaller. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another thing that can help, not necessarily with form, but it can really help you learn how to hold on something that's really little.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised what you can do with that too. I mean, you can take just a speck of paper and start shooting, shooting it good too.
Just challenge yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think outside the box. I mean, when you go out and you just repetitively just shoot, mm-hmm. you know, 30, 40 arrows, whatever, go back in the house. I mean, like, was it Real Wild? I was talking to him at the ATA last year. And he said, the best advice I can give anybody, he says, when you walk away from your practice session, he said, come away from it learning something. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, just take something away from it that, you know, maybe it's this is what I need to do with my release more and get a feel for and get better. You know, what he's saying is every time you go out, don't just go through the motions.
Yeah.
He said, that's not going to get you anywhere.
Oh, no.
That's true.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And, you know, much same with gun. A lot of people shoot, but we'll get, I don't know. I'm like you, Nick. I just shoot, but I have guns and that.
Yeah.
But I don't shoot guns a lot, but I know a few people that's going to come on. They'll talk a little gun with us.
I got all the, whatever you want to call it, admiration for guys that are good with guns because I'm terrible.
Yeah.
Like, where I'm not confident at all with a rifle.
It's,
like,
and it's the same thing. It's
150 yards to me is like, man, I don't know, because I shoot bows.
Because you shoot a bow all the time. And I must say, and I have to tell a story. I've been forgetting. I was wanting to tell it. And, you know, we'll get off here soon. Geez, time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, I love it.
But, let's see. I've been getting blown up here.
I did too.
Oh, there's Gen 7. Someone wanting to come on Gen 7, put the podcast on there. They may not want it after they listen to the couple. But anyways, so, I got my wife, she wanted to buy me a gun for Christmas. You know, I have 243.
Is that this year?
No, this has been a few years ago.
Okay.
And, so, you know, I always wanted a 308.
Mm-hmm.
So you get what you want, you know, 308. So I get a big old 308 and, I get this big, huge scope. You know, I'm not a big gun guy, so, but I'm getting the best of the best that I've always wanted. And man, I've got a gun and I'm like, you know, I want to go gun hunting this year.
Right.
You know, just something different.
Take it out. Yeah.
So, I pass up the bow hunt, believe it or not, all year long because I got this gun. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to kill monster. Now, here's another big hairy story for you all. Say what you want about me. I'm just telling you the truth.
Oh gosh.
So, here I've got this rifle. I'm going to kill one at 350 yards, you know, 300 yards. I see him. He's dead. I go out to my spot and I'm going during the evening. I want to get in there during the evening and set up. And I have to walk down in the holler. And when I come back up out of this holler, there's a lot of, it's been timbered. And then I walk through that timber and I get to my big high wall field. And now I can watch 400 yards.
Right. You know?
And man, I could not wait. Never been able to do that. Never had a big rifle.
Something different.
So I go down the holler and I have the wind in my face. And as I come up to the top of the flat where all the clear cut is, I stop and I got that wind in my face and I'm like, and I'm behind a big oak. You know, that's just the way I am. And I was like, man, I better grunt just in case there might be a big buck laying in this brush somewhere. So I grunt, and I'm telling you, Nick, right behind that oak, about 10 yards from where, from where I'm standing, stands this deer.
Yep.
And when he stands up, and I'm just, this is what it is. You know, I know it sounds crazy. When he stands up, I know this is a big buck just by the body.
Right.
But I don't want it to shoot. I mean, I don't see his head. And half of
him
is behind that oak. And honestly, I can just see the swag of his back and his butt. He's 10 yards from me. So I put that gun up, and he, and you all ain't going to be able to see it, but I can show Nick here. And he takes his head around that tree, if you all can imagine. He takes that head around that tree, and he looks. You know, he hears the grunt. Right. And he swoops down like that. Well, it looked like it was 30 inches wide to me. You know, he's 10 yards from me. As soon as I see that rack, half of it come through there,
yeah.
I'm shooting this deer. I don't even care. And, you know, of course, that scope's blurry. I got the biggest scope you could possibly get. And, I mean, I just – it may have been a bad shot, but I just shoot him. And he falls right there, and I think – I mean, I don't even know if I've ever had that close a shot with my bow.
With a bow, right.
On a big buck like that. And there I had that rifle and about knocked him in the head with it.
That's the way it goes.
And that's the last time I've been rifle hunting. I was like, hey, I'm going back to my bow. But isn't that a crazy story? I've been wanting to tell that forever, but my memory's so bad. I'll tell you how bad my memory is. I come down here, and I was going to do a little solo. Someone's probably pissed me off or something. I was like, I'm doing an episode. I'm going to blast them on here or something like that.
Right.
But anyways, I do this big episode, this podcast, and, you know, yes, that was good. And I go over on the couch, and I turn on and listen to it, and I repeat it myself. Twice. I mean, I'm talking about like, not just like.
Verbatim.
Yeah. It was a bad one.
It's a, oh. Yeah.
So, but I'm getting that age, I guess.
It's like, I hate listening to myself on these things.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Well, the times I haven't listened and I just downloaded it, like I think your last one.
Yeah.
It died there.
Yeah.
The last 4 or 5 minutes. So I started listening to them, but I listened now. I'm glad I listened to that one. I was like, wow. I mean, I can be myself word for word.
Yeah.
You know,
don't, let's not put that one up.
No, I was like, yeah, I erased that. It was probably better off. Trust me.
Oh man. Well, so what are you, what's your plans for next year?
Well, just doing that cheap hunt. What can I call that?
I don't know. Hunting on a budget.
Hunting on a budget. That's it right there.
Something like that.
I'm
going to
film every bit of it.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I think
stick
really cool.
One in the rump. That 175 you're talking about.
See, that's what.
That'd be a bad deal on it.
I better get really good with that recurve before I go out after a buck. And I'm not trying to say that like a doe's life isn't worth what a buck is. But, man, you hunt so hard for these big bucks, and it would be heartbreaking to have one out that would tempt you to take
you
that
only
shot
get so
that's
many.
Out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, and you only get so many opportunities,
yeah.
And you're so good with your bow.
Because I know that with, and I'm not cocky. I don't think I'm cocky, but I'm confident enough in myself that if there's a deer inside of 60 yards, mm-hmm. if I wanted to kill it, it's dead.
Well, you think you could take both bows if
maybe,
somebody was?
Maybe. I don't know, but I would sure hate to have the 40 yard shot quartered away. Don't know I'm in the tree, and there I sit with the recurve.
Yeah, I'd have to think
and a lot of the traditional guys, you know, their big thing is to be a better hunter, to get closer.
They're telling
man, that's true. Because there's a
John
ton of
John Workman said you're the man, and I'm going to get in trouble.
I am the man, John. But I've joined some Facebook groups, and there's guys that have hundreds of traditional bow kills that they will not shoot an animal over 15 yards.
That's
a rush.
Yeah. They are the man.
That's crazy. But a lot of those guys, they wear the moccasins.
Yeah.
And they wait on rainy, wet days and slink through the woods and have an arrow knocked all the time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what was cool about elk hunting to me was I felt like just sitting and waiting, you're hunting. You gotta put yourself in the position to capitalize on, you know, on killing the animal.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it was cool. It was a breath of fresh air in a way.
Right.
I'm so bad for sitting in a tree stand and being like, and thinking, I should be in this other spot. I know there's another one over here. You know that buck's here. And sometimes you check your trail camera and you're dead wrong. And
A lot of times.
Yeah, you gotta, I think you gotta hunt with what you feel.
You do. You have to go, you know.
Go with your instincts.
Go with your instincts. I mean, you got your sign and put your plan together. And you know, while we're on this real quick, if you got another minute or two.
I got plenty of time.
I know we've been went about an hour and a half. This is our longest podcast.
Have we really?
Yeah, hour and 20 minutes.
Well, sorry. So, sorry, guys.
Yeah. Whatever. You know, people's been asking me to do a little bit longer episodes.
Let's do it.
A lot of people are on the road and stuff.
I'm long-winded anyway.
We was talking about when I was shooting, what helped me was breaking the 20 target range down to 5 at a time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in December. And, of course, I talked about Nick Basil. I mean, it's a mental deal as well when you get that late. And he finally tagged out. But, you know, it can wear you down.
Oh, man.
You hunt that long. And Nick had talked about it the last time he was on. But I learned I used to put a lot of pressure on myself. I killed a couple nice bucks. Oh, Robbie's going to kill a big buck this year.
Yeah.
And I was hunting for the wrong reason. Yeah. I have to kill a big buck now. And that's when I was younger and I had to learn.
Robbie the big buck, Marshawn.
Well, you know, back then, seriously.
I know what you mean.
And I put, that's the way I felt.
Yeah. Cause you see these guys kill these monsters, not to interrupt you, but you see these guys that kill these monsters all the time and they'll shoot one that is a nice buck, like 130 inch. And then everybody on Facebook's like, what'd he kill that for? He always kills big bucks.
Yeah.
That is a big buck.
I'm doing somersaults for a 130 inch buck.
I got you. But anyway.
But for you guys, I'll tell you another thing that helped me just be consistent year in, year out is I don't think about killing a buck anymore. I put my plan together and you do have to change it as the season goes on,
mm-hmm.
but you can only do so much throughout a season. And all you can do is work as hard as you can at it. If you really want to kill one, put the best plan you can together, stay with what's going on, the food source, pre-rut, rut, with your weather changes and hunt those critical times, you know, when you have a front coming in and have the plan, the stands, just stick with that plan and you'll either get a shot or you won't, but you can't stress yourself out over it, whether you're going to kill one or not. That's all you can do. I mean, like I said, Dusty's still going at it.
Right. It's all personality. It's all upon your personality, I think. Mm-hmm. Last year I killed my buck. I'd hunted over 400 hours. I mean, it could have been 500 hours I sat in the tree stand.
Oh, yeah, last year.
And I killed my buck. Me and Kyle hung a stand the last day of bow season for the evening hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Hung in a whole new setup, and I killed a buck the last 15 minutes of daylight, the last day of season. And I'm a firm believer in you've got two types of people in this world. You've got hammers, and you've got nails.
Mm-hmm.
And which one are you?
Are
you the kind of person that's going to say, well, I didn't do no good this year. I'm just going to give up. When you've got 6 weeks of season left,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not geared that way.
No.
I'm not going to stop until I am legit out of time.
Yep.
And yeah, I don't know.
And then you give it your all. That's all you can do.
And that's what frustrates me about some people, that they'll complain of, well, I didn't see a buck in early November. Now season's over. Are you kidding me?
When December comes,
right.
Hearts start.
And I understand
dropping.
That,
and yeah, it's different.
Family stuff gets to you, because I was that way last year. That I would sit in a tree stand and I'd tell my wife, be like, hey, I'm gonna go out this evening, gonna go hunt. She'd say, okay, all right, good luck. And go out there and not see anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guilt would set in of, man, I could have been home with, you know, my wife and my baby.
That's kind of what Nick said last.
Yeah. And man, after when you spend a season that way, the whole season from September to the middle of January,
it wore you down.
It does. I mean, I know that buck that I killed wasn't a really big deer, but man, I was just.
Oh, you guys were so excited. Like I said, it was a hunt in the memory. We're talking about it right now.
I was so pumped because all that time, and I finally got one. And I was going out to just try to get one more doe from my freezer, and I was going to burn my fourth tag on a doe.
Mm-hmm.
And just so happened that buck walked under the stand. But that's the thing of hunting is 30 seconds can change your day.
Oh, absolutely. That's what you're hunting for all season
long. The time that you're sitting there in the stand and it's getting kind of dark, but you still got some hunting light left. You've been there that long. Just stay.
The adrenaline wasn't no different with that buck than what it was.
Oh,
your biggest buck this early season.
Right. It doesn't get old to me. The bow hunting, the rush,
You was talking about like shooting a 130-inch buck.
Yeah.
That buck that say the buck I killed this year, I could probably maybe kill a bigger buck. I'm gonna tell you something. I was coming out of that stand, swinging out of there like Tarzan.
Sure, man.
Can get there fast enough.
Yeah.
It's just not that to me. You know, I just don't. And I want to kill big bucks and mature bucks. That's where I'm at.
Right.
But it's about the hunt. My grandpa, you know, I'm 44. My grandpa helped me drag that deer out. I mean, come on.
Right.
You kidding me?
And I got to, like, this year, my grandpa, he killed, I seen you a picture of it, I think, that one he killed the crossbow.
Oh, yeah.
He kills a hammer every year. Yeah. But he shot this buck we never had on camera. Comes out the day before gun season, so that's prime. Mm-hmm. I love that last week before Kentucky rifle season comes in. It seems like the bucks are just, the big ones are up on their feet again.
Yeah.
And he shot it, and I he sat in the cabin, actually, because he's 78, and he sat and waited on us to go track it for him. And that was just awesome. That very well could be my grandpa's last deer.
You never know.
You don't know.
You have that memories forever,
right,
for you.
Right. You know, and we called him and was like, hey, we found it. And, you know, he was pumped. That was his first one with the crossbow.
Yeah.
Which is cool because he hadn't killed a bow. I don't think he ever did kill a really big buck with a bow. He killed a few does, but my uncle bought him a crossbow. I was like, you need to start, you know, trying to use this thing some, and it worked out good for him. Because, I mean, anytime that you see somebody that's that age still out in the woods, man, it's great.
Like I said, your grandpa and me dragging that one out, my grandpa. I mean, of course, now I'll tell you, my grandpa's lived on that land forever.
Yeah.
And he's been retired for a long time, you know. He's in his 80s. And he's tough as nails. But he's seen the Amish buck.
Yeah.
I've seen the Amish buck.
In person.
I mean, I've seen it 40 yards, and he's seen it several times. But that's not even on his top five of what he's seen down there.
Really?
What he's seen.
Yeah.
So, say that buck that I killed this year in Ohio was a 135-inch buck.
Yeah.
In that area right there. He's a great buck.
Yeah.
And the old buck, and if you've seen his body, he's just a hog.
You can tell by the pictures, man. His neck was huge.
His neck's huge. Well, you know, when me and Grandpa get back here, he looks at it like, oh, jeez. What'd you shoot that for?
Right.
Oh, you got that one. Well, good job.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, good job, buddy.
But no, he's seen booner after booner down there.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you what I kind of skipped. Let me go back just a little bit, but I talked to Grandpa, and he said, Robbie said, you're getting ready to fire up. He said, I believe. And he said, I seen one come right there in front of the house. And if you're ever down there, Nick, I hopefully take you down there sometime. You can see about 200 yards from his house, and they just run all over the place. So
yeah.
He said, I seen one come right here in front of the house. He made a scrape, and he done all the things. He said, so he's fired up. And I said, oh, yeah. What do he look like? He wasn't nothing special. But when we go back.
What's nothing special to him?
Yeah, he said, hey, it wasn't nothing special. Well, when he comes back to help me drag my deer out, he's like, oh, that's the one that was in front of the house.
That's your nothing special, huh?
little tiny 135.
Well, my grandpa kind of done the same thing to me. I think he was out or something. He come home at evening that I killed and already had it out in the bottom. We was taking pictures, video, and all that stuff. And he comes over and says, where'd you get that one at? And I told him. He's like, oh. He said, there's some lot bigger ones. I was like, well, thanks.
Well, you know, they're going to be honest.
Yeah. Okay.
That's cool.
And he was right because he killed a lot bigger one than I did.
Yeah.
And he always does. But I wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, my gosh. And we'll get off here in a minute. We're just talking about kids coming up today compared to back then. It's so different. But, you know, when I was 12 years old, I had a nylon 66-22. There was no homes around there. Grandpa put me through the safety thing ever since I was, you know, first time I could have a gun.
Yep.
And real young. I don't want to say how young because we might have been breaking the law. I don't know. But things was just different back then, you know, on the farm, just me and him.
Right.
But I had that 22, and I would go around, and there was a Amish guy, was our neighbor. Of course, he was pretty far away. And, but I could walk there. And that was it. The only person you'd see come around through there was the mailman. So I'd walk up and down the side of that gravel road. And of course, the Amish guy had those big Clydesdale horses or whatever they are, the big workhorses they right. have. And so groundhogs was a big deal. And if I seen a groundhog, they wanted me to kill it. Because they make a hole out in them fields, for you all that don't know, one of them horses stick their leg down that hole.
Yep.
That's a broke leg. And them Amish people, I mean, they yep. count on that's their tractor.
Yep.
And you don't want a horse to get hurt anyways, no matter what the reason. So I get $5, or I get $3 for every groundhog I'd kill. So I had that nylon 66, and Grandpa taught me. I'd get behind them groundhog holes, and I'd whistle. Now, I'm young.
Here they come out.
And they pop their head out, and I'd shoot them, and they'd slide back down that hole. Well, the next thing I had to do is I'd go get me barbed wire and some of them gloves, just a little kid, and I'd put that barbed wire down that hole, and I'd get that groundhog out. And, of course, I had me a little Dynamark lawnmower. You guys, you probably never heard of that, Nick.
No.
But your grandpa's heard of a Dynamark. And it had a little wagon on it, and I'd throw that on there, and I'd take it over to Junior, which was an Amish guy, get my $3. Of course, I'd run back up to Grandpa, you know. I was only supposed to get $3 from one of them.
Right.
Of course, you know, they knew what I was doing, but I was
hustling.
I was hustling, man. I was getting my $6 out of one groundhog. But, you know, I'm 44 and I'm still talking about that.
Right.
That's the difference. My goodness, if you give a 12-year-old a nylon 66, 22 now, and turn him loose on your farm, you'd probably go to jail.
Oh, man.
Ugh. It's just different times.
Yeah, everything's changed. The world's always going to evolve, but I think there's certain traditions and things that you can hold on to that you can teach your kids. And I mean, my little girl right now, she'll be 3 in January, and I've got her a bow, and she's always talking about shooting deer, and mm-hmm. she'll watch me editing on a video, and she's like, "Where's the arrow?" And yeah. she's already put it together.
Oh, yeah.
And I've tried not to be graphic and say, sure. we kill deer. You know, she's little, and she's already put it together. And mm-hmm. seems like she's got an interest in it. And I'm going to take her out probably next year. I'm going to take her with me in a box blind so she's warm mm-hmm. and just let her watch deer. And,
yeah, just let her have fun.
Right. Let her be a kid. You
let
know?
It go wherever it goes.
Yeah, and hopefully I'm tagged down a big giant bug don't walk in because I know she'll scare it off. But
hey, it will.
If it happens, it'll be a funny story. But I think raising your kids around the outdoors does a whole lot more for them than what some people would gather. Because I know a lot of people that don't hunt are not going to listen to this podcast.
No.
And we're probably beating a dead horse to death. And these guys that are listening already know all this stuff. And they get it. But hopefully it piques some interest to somebody that is interested in hunting might stumble upon yeah. this and just, you know, dabble into the world. Because I get so sick of hunters are portrayed as, you know, the rednecks that drive the big loud trucks with the guns and drink beer and shoot deer and laugh. And it is, when you're in this world that we're in, it is totally not that way.
No.
And there's nobody that cares about these deer more than we do.
Yep.
Or any of these other animals. I mean,
we know that. And you know what? And you know, I'm not a big hunting show guy, but that's why that Nick's Wild Ride is my favorite hunting show, because I feel like it's promoting hunting to someone that, you know, might not normally want to go hunting.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because he's a city dude. Nick's a city. You watch that show?
No, I haven't.
Anyway, he's pretty much a city guy. He, you know, does all this and that. And he didn't come from the farm. But he's really all about hunting. You have to watch it.
Okay.
I think you'll like it.
I'll check it out.
It's a good show because I think if someone was just to flip on there, I mean, if people don't hunt, they're not going to watch it anyways. But
right.
I
wish people who are so against hunting would try to educate themselves a little bit more
yeah.
about what it is, what we do.
Yeah. Well, it seems like people are against, even hunters are against hunters that they don't agree with.
It's, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We've seen that yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, that's
the case.
That's always going to be a thing. I think, I don't know, maybe the male ego has got a huge part to play in
Well, that. I will tell you, I do believe women promote our sport a lot better than us men nowadays.
Some.
And I think the attempt to do so as far as introducing more women into the outdoors.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
There's some that do it great.
Well, some of them are doing it to show their tits, and that's just being flat out true.
That's what I was kind of getting at.
Yeah, I understand that side.
That's the ones that, it's almost gotten to a point that, like, when you go to, say, like, the ATA, there's a lot of girls that walk around there that you know have no interest in hunting.
Yeah.
They are the arm candy. They're there for the
money. Well, that's the sales. Much like the men that are in there.
Yeah, and that's true too. I mean, there's a lot of guys that you can tell a dude that's, you know, 6'4" with perfect teeth and a spray tan. It's like, dude, get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, get out of here.
That's the circus part of it.
Right. And that's what frustrates me with a lot of those women that do that is that's not what I want my little girl looking up to. But there's a lot that,
like the wildlife women.
Yeah, they do a great
job. I love how they just promote the outdoors to each other. I mean, they're just having fun and they're growing, which is good. And I hope it just takes off like wildfire.
Right.
That's
the kind of people that I like to see grow versus the ones that's just there for Instagram likes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I want to just tell them that those women, I mean, they ain't going to listen to this either because a lot of them, and you got to know which ones we're talking about.
Right.
I don't even see that fish. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to name names or anything like that, which I don't know any of their names, but I know what you're getting at.
You don't need the inspirational quote to go with all that either.
No.
Go ahead and post your picture and get your 1,000 likes and move on.
I mean, it would be the same as a dude that always has his shirt off with, you know, holding a little tiny fish. It's like, that's not the point.
I'm glad I don't have six pack anymore. I won't be tempted to do that.
I'm filling out the dad bod quite nicely now.
I did think about buying some of them boobs from Spencer's.
Oh, gosh.
No, I did. I was going to catch me a bluegill and put them on just to see how many likes I get. I bet you I could get 500 likes.
I seen one picture. It was funny. Some dude in, like, real short Daisy Dukes.
Oh, yeah. He had his
butt cheeks hanging out. Yeah, second trail camera.
See, he did good.
That was a good one. I was like, man, that is so spot on.
I wanted that so bad.
I'm not bashing on women hunters at all. It's just.
They know.
I'm sure they're more frustrated with it than we are.
They do, from what I've seen.
Yeah. And I just.
Actually, they mock those girls a lot.
I just call it like I see it. I mean, a lot of those girls, they're not out there for the hunting community. And that's not what I don't want them to be the face of it, but unfortunately
we need the ones like the wildlife women
right.
to be the face of it, the ones promoting the outdoors.
Right. And that's what you want. I mean, that's what we need more of to get, you know, these young girls involved with the outdoors and things like that. They need good role models to look up to.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
And hopefully, you know, that group of women is going to, you know, really explode. Which I know there's probably a lot of groups of women out there that do the same type of thing, but that's just what's local to us. That's who we know. So that's why we're really highlighting them a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, Nick, I should only get a few thousand messages. I'm sure it's something.
Yeah, I'm sure we started a lot.
Nah, it wasn't too bad. It was good. Hey, listen, y'all. Any of y'all, you know, want to come on here and share your stories, whatever it is, I don't care what it is, what you hunt, you frog gig or whatever, you know, this is a platform for you all to use. I mean, around here local, on the phone, whatever. If you're listening, thanks to all y'all that's been listening. I know I've been surprised. I mean, you see that text I just got, I'll show you.
It's going great, man.
So that's what it's supposed to be about, bring us all together. We all have different views. We all have different opinions. We have, you know, different thoughts on things. But we're all hunters, man. We're all in the same circle. We can't let them draw that line down between us, and we can't divide each other. That's for sure.
If you guys, if any of you guys want to see some local guys from our area hunting, our hunt group, Empty Quiver, we're going to be out there posting a lot of content, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and all that. You guys follow along with us. You could see some of the kills that we've been talking about tonight. You know, all that stuff's getting ready to drop pretty soon. So I've been editing quite a bit lately, so it's all coming together good. So hopefully we'll do Eastern Kentucky some justice and
show
them what we can
produce,
you know.
Yeah. Real deal stuff, and it's all done with passion.
That's the
best part.
It's real hunting. Over corn.
Hey, listen, that is real hunting here.
It is me. I don't,
you know. I had Jake Corngable on here the other day, and, you know, he'll tell you, which he hunts Ohio.
Yeah.
Private land. He has private leases. Mm-hmm. places like that. And, you know, this time of year, he's going to corn it up. Of course, he tagged out.
Lay the corn to him. So, it works.
I know one thing. We're not the guy that's doing it acting like we're not doing it.
Right.
Because, and I used to not do it. And I used to roll my eyes at it. And then I threw a bag of corn out. And that one popped up. And I was like, I'm going to start doing that.
It's like, okay, well, this works. This so, works. Yeah. I mean, hey, don't knock it till you try it.
That's exactly right. Hey, Nick McWhorter, I appreciate you coming on again, man.
Thanks for having me anytime, buddy.
We'll see y'all later. It's Rob Marchand, Hunting Out Loud.